It's time for light that darkness can't defeat. It's time to escape from the shadow of death and into abundant life. For the people living in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Welcome to the Great Light Program with David Oyedepo Jr. Get set to arise and shine, because your light has come.
I pray that a fresh grace, I thank God for what's happening, but a greater grace for prayers, for supplication, will become your portion in Jesus' name. Somebody believe me, say a loud amen.
Amen.
I said somebody believe me, say a loud amen.
Amen.
Somebody believe me, say the loudest amen.
Amen.
In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7, I love this scripture. It said, and the Lord said, I've surely seen the afflictions of my people, which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of the taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. And verse 8. And I am come down. The affliction is there. I saw it. But it is their cry I heard. And I am come down. You see, Isaiah 64 verses 1 down to verse 4. He said, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, and that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. So it is prayer you use. And look at what it begins to say in verse, continue. He said, and when the melting, as when the melting fire burneth and causeth the waters to boil, and make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. He says, and when thou didst do terrible things, which we look not for, thou camest down, and the mountains flowed down at thy presence. And look at verse 4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither had I seen, O God, besides thee, what he had prepared for him that does what? That waited. I tell people that it takes nothing to start, but it takes something to stay. Are you listening to what I'm saying? It takes something to stay. God will come down for those who stay. Not those who start, but those who stay. That is why there is a necessity. If somebody says, oh, but we have done this before, we are fine, we kill ourselves with this fast, with these prayers. Every day we pray. Every day. All the time. I mean, do these people not even pity? I can't kill myself. We fasted in January. We fasted in June. Now we don't even know where we are going, whether we are fasting on Christmas Day. What did he say there? The one that waited. Not the one who started. There are many people who start. Not too many stay. You can be in the same church and you started, but you are not staying. Let me shock you. You can be in the same prayer meeting. You started. But even you too know that the tongues you are speaking is not connected. Yes. Because at that point, you have lost touch. Your mind is everywhere. I should be a mess. You are still speaking tongues. And you are thinking of all the things that you have left. And are you hearing what I'm saying? Some people are even, they have advanced enough to be sending text messages during the prayer. That is texting. I'm still in prayer meeting. While the prayer is going and the tongue is flowing. If you tell yourself the truth, you know that there are some tongues that are not connected. Is that true?
Yeah.
There are tongues that are not connected. You are praying the tongues and you are sorting other things out. Both you and God know that you are not communicating to each other. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I told you to forgive me early so that I can talk to you. I didn't come to preach, I came to talk to you. Because both speech and preaching carry power. Paul said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words. I didn't come to entice you. You understand what I'm saying? You know, when I finish, I pack my bag, I go to where I'm coming from. Your pastor will sort you out. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What I'm saying is this. We are not talking about activity. It's connectivity. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are people who copy other people's activity. We saw what happened then, so we copied the activity. But are we connected? It's a different issue. It's a completely different issue. But I pray that God will engrace you with what it takes, not only to carry activity, but to maintain connectivity.
Amen.
Somebody believe it, say loud amen.
Amen.
So intercession and supplication. And we go to the next point now. This is what, number four?
Yeah.
Number four?
Yeah.
All right, good. Dedication. You're not going to like this one. Dedication. What is dedication? Dedication is actually a deadly commitment. That's what dedication means. It's a deadly commitment. I can tell you this, that until you are dedicated, you can't be celebrated in this kingdom. The agenda of God requires dedicated people. Now, let's look at our ultimate example, who was Jesus Christ. In the book of Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 down to verse 11, look at what the scripture says. It says there, it said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. This mentality. He said, who, in verse 6, he said, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He said, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. All of these things are pictures of dedication. He came from heaven, glorified, from heaven. From, you know what it means for God to come down. This is a God that even David was saying, he said, how is it that you are able to behold what is happening with us? The difference was too far. But he came down and took on the form of a man, not enough. Demoted himself and took on the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Not only was he a man, but he was a servant. He says in verse 8, he said, and being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself. These are all things that nullified, as it were, his former glory. He came as man, became a servant, not just a servant, but a humble servant. I don't know if you get what I'm saying.
Yes.
A servant is humbled already, but now he was humbled. That is, it's humiliating to have been made a servant, but then having been made a servant, he humbled himself. And he became obedient unto what? Death. Even the death of the cross. He said, wherefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. So you talk about Jesus now, you call his name everywhere God moves. If you want to become a mobile reviver, you also must take that same step. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Not just a man, but a servant. Not just a servant, but one that is a humble servant and one who is willing to be obedient all the way to death. That's dedication. Do you see why God cannot use everybody? Are you listening to what I'm saying? These are the reasons why. Because the cost of dedication is hardly paid. Now, let me give you some pictures in scriptures that will help you. Romans chapter 8, verse 35 to 38. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? He said, as it is written, for thy sake we. I thought he said, who will separate us from the love of Christ? So that should mean that Christ is the one who should be handling all of those situations, isn't it? Tribulation, all of that. Go back to verse 35. He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distresses, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for dissect. We are the ones now killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. We had to have resigned ourselves to that place first before we could become more than conquerors. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You want to conquer a territory for God? First of all, lay yourself on the altar. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Do you now understand why it says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 that we must do what? Present our bodies as a living sacrifice laid out on the altar. Sacrificed before God. These are the prices, as it were. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So we see that picture. Well, let's look at another picture of dedication in scriptures. John chapter 12, verse 23 down to verse 26. Jesus said that the hour for the Son of Man to be glorified has come. He said, but except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and die, it abided alone. He said, but if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. He says, if he that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, in this pattern I've been explaining, he said, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. And if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. All of these things that we have seen are pictures of dedication. If he will not plant himself as a seed, if he won't get lost in God, you see, this selfish ambition is the reason for many, many people's lack of manifestation. We can't capture God because we are chasing him actually for things. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's the real reason we are pursuing him, is for certain things. Lord, give me money. Lord, give me a husband. Lord, give me a wife. Give me a car. Give me a house. Give me a breakthrough. Open a door for me. Let favor answer for me. Turn this case around for me. God, help me. You understand? We are chasing him for these things. And because we are chasing him for these things, we can't find ourselves ultimately glorified. But if a man will plant himself as a seed, I tell people, I am lost. I'm telling you, I am lost inside God totally. My life is a seed. I'm very predictable in action and motion. You know where to find me almost at any time. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Continuously, consistently, doggedly lost. Because I realize that until dedication is paid as a price, glorification is not your portion. And you know, glory talks about the appearance of God, which is revival. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Let me say this to you. Come to a point in your life where you can say indeed you are planted. Come to a point where you can say indeed you are planted. You are rooted. Trees don't move. When last did you see a tree walking about? Rooted in God, rooted in the things of God, dedicated to him. You are not chasing things. And I tell you something, when you get there, watch it, things will chase you. Things will chase you, I mean, practically. I can tell you this both by revelation and by experience, that things will literally chase you when you focus on chasing God. Come to a point where material things have lost value to you. Come to a point where every other thing has lost value to you. Where the only thing you value is him. I tell you something. When you get to that place and you are totally lost in him, whatever it is you say, I'm willing. Do you know there are people who, even when God speaks, they negotiate with him. Lord, I know that, but you have to consider. As if it's not wise enough to have considered. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let's wake up and realize the God we are dealing with. I'm so busy. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to study. What do you mean you are so busy? God has no business. to where you are sold out totally. That Lord, wherever it is you say go, no matter the cost, I'm going. Whatever it is you say do, no matter the cost, I'm doing. No, just say the word and I'm doing it. Are you listening to what I'm saying? That's what you call dedication. A person who is lost in God. I was sharing some time with our people in church. I told them, I said, today we live in a generation where people will say, it's because I'm shy, I can't win souls. God knows my personality. You are a joker. You know what Jeremiah said? He said, I said, I will no longer speak in his name. But his word was in me.
Yes.
Like a fire shot up that I could not stay. I couldn't stand. I couldn't keep quiet. I said, we are trying to get people to talk. They were trying to get them to be silenced. They said to Peter, don't preach in that name again. He said, we cannot but speak. That is the only way you have to kill me not to talk. We cannot but speak of the things that we have both heard and we have seen. I saw something in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8. If you read it from verse 1 down to verse 3, the Bible says persecution arose after Philip, after Stephen. Persecution arose against the church, and they that were in Jerusalem, he said they were scattered abroad through all the regions of Judea and of Samaria, except the apostles. And look at verse 2. And devout men carried Stephen, and they buried him, and made a great lamentation over him. He said in verse 3, for Saul, he had made havoc in the church, entering into how many houses? How many? Every house. Did you read verse 1? The apostles did not leave. Every means every. God does not misunderstand English. They entered into every house, including the one where they were. But they could not be intimidated. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They couldn't be shaken. These were people who had already decided, if it will end with me standing for him, let it end like that. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes.
Let's come to the point where we tell ourselves the truth. Are we dedicated or what? Are we dedicated or are we joking? You find a Christian who carry a Bible and cover it in the newspaper. Cover it in a newspaper to avoid enter a restaurant and put hand like this because you want to pray in case anybody sees you. I mean, are we dedicated? And here it is, the cost, the only cost to us for representing him is ridicule. That's all. Their cost was death. We can't even pay ridicule. How can you see what they saw if you can't pay what they paid? Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes.
You see, the truth is that we ought to repent.
Yes.
For the way we think and behave, we ought to repent. Are you getting what I'm saying? Ridicule is a cost that is too high. What do people say? How will they feel? We've got to wake up and recognize that. You see, the choice is ours. God's choice is made concerning revival. It's our choice that remains. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's our choice that remains. I told you I didn't come to preach. I came to talk. Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It is our choice. So let us wake up and tell ourselves the truth. If I mean business with God, I've got to show it by dedication. It will cost you something. It's not a joke. It will cost you something. It will cost you something. You are totally lost in him. Continuously, What I do by the grace of God, I do it every day of the week. There's no day off. Praying with intensity. Studying with intensity. Working with all veracity. I was trying to check, and I don't think I work less than, I mean, when I say work, I mean combine praying, combine all of that, less than 15 hours of each day. I don't think it ever happens. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I don't think it ever happens. Is it enough? No. Why? I'm a seed. The seed is at the mercy of the ground. Are you listening to what I'm saying? It's at the mercy of the ground. Let's wake up and check where we stand. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let us check where we stand. There were individuals, one person, who routed. We heard it in the church. You heard it in the church. God's servant said it here. He mentioned it. One Philip entered into Samaria. By the way, he was not ordained an evangelist at that time. Before you ever hear of Philip the evangelist is later. That was Philip the deacon in the church. What did it mean for him to be a deacon? Food distribution agent. That's what it meant? Yes. Am I correct, sir? Yeah. They were distributing food to the need of the people, of the widows. Widow servicing agent. That's what it was. But he had enough content to affect the city. Are you hearing? Enough. So the question is not about your position. The question is about your passion. Where do you stand really? Are you listening to what I'm saying? Where do you stand really? This on and off thing can't work. This hot and cold thing, it can't work. I hear there are some people that, you see, you are seasonally on fire. Seasonally on fire. Huh? When the 92 days. Everybody. Now that we are getting into the nitty gritty, emotion is slowing down. Emotion is slowing down. And then the end, you know, I understand. I've been pastoring for some time, so I understand people. Beginning and the end, they don't play with it. Beginning and the end, you know, you can't talk. The end is where the blessing is. So the end, everybody will report for the last day. Everybody. And shout as if they have been there from the start. Am I telling the truth? No, I've been pastoring for this, so I know human behavior perfectly. Beginning and the end are two places that Christians don't play. Middle. That's where you know the real people is in the middle. Those who are committed is in the middle. But beginning and end, yes. We are there to start, so God can know we registered. And then we are there to end so that our registration can be confirmed with a blessing. Shout hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Look at what Paul said. I am crucified with Christ. But nevertheless, I live. Yet the life that I live, I do not live on my own, but by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and who gave himself for me. I am crucified. Galatians 2:20. I want you to recognize something. When you see certain things in scriptures, it is not generally applicable. It may be specifically applicable. Paul didn't say we are. He said I am. I don't know about you, but I am crucified with him. You see, there is the symbolic portion, and then there is the real portion. Paul was saying, I was not only symbolically crucified with him by salvation. You know, when you get born again, as it were, you are symbolically crucified into him. Paul was talking about as if my life. That's why he said in Philippians 3:10, he said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. You know what fellowship means? Interaction. We are together. That's what he meant. In whatever it takes, we are together. the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Those are dangerous statements. Those are dangerous, being made conformable unto his death. So here you are talking about an individual that was not just talking about what happened at the instance, but what has become a procedure. It was a journey he was taking. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So we must recognize that there is the need for dedication, a deadly commitment to the cause of God. A deadly commitment to the cause of God. That's why I said, may it never be said that your best was in your past. Hear me, I know people who have been passionate, who are drunkards now. They were passionate, they were on fire at one point in time. Drunkards now, taking drugs now. They so lost it that they went that far. Remember what Jesus said, when an evil spirit goes, he will come with seven, waiting to re-inhabit any empty heart. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So we must come to the point where we recognize the necessity of dedication. If you understand that, say amen.
Amen.
I hope I'm not too rough on you tonight. The way you are saying it now is different from how you were saying it.
He said it's a revolution, but it's a
revolution. It was very quiet this time. It wasn't like before. Praise God. All right. Finally, number five is conviction. Conviction. Everyone who is part of a move of God, and I don't mean just present. Let me say this. There are three different kinds of people in every move of God. You have those who steer the move. You have those who watch the move. And there are those who miss the move. There are three. Every move of God. There are those who steer the move. There are very few. There are those who watch the move. Oh, wow. Look at what God is doing. And there are those who don't even know God is doing anything. Totally unaware. They miss it. Do you know, as intense as the move of God was with Jesus when Jesus was on the earth, Paul missed everything. I mean, he was one of the most unfortunate kind of people you can imagine. He missed everything. Every meeting, every revival, everything, every healing, all. He missed all from first to last. Because the passion of Paul shows you that if he had known, he would have persecuted Jesus. He would have been, either he would persecute or he would join. Those are the only two directions he knows how to go. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, he missed everything. There are people like that. They are inside the thing, they are not aware. You mean something was like that was happening in Caris? Where was I? Where was I? Was I in the service? They miss everything. There are people who are here now. They have missed all I've said from the beginning to now. They are awake, but they are sleeping. The spirit has gone to sleep. They miss it all. They miss it all. And guess what? Those who stay can never be as many as those who miss. Many are called, few are chosen. I said number five was conviction. Everything in this kingdom operates by faith. True or false? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33 to 34. The Bible shows us there, through faith, they subdued kingdoms, they wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness they were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. All of these things took place by faith. By faith. So faith was the instrument. And then the scriptures go on to tell us in verse 39 and verse 40, these all, he said, they obtained a good report through faith, but they received not the promise. God having reserved some better thing for us. So if they got their good report by faith, we receive our promise by faith. True? We receive our promise by faith. Galatians 3 verse 14, it said, and we receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So the promise that God has, the preparation not only of the Holy Spirit for our baptism, but the Holy Spirit for the baptism of a land, the baptism of a city. That's what you call revival. The outpouring of the Spirit upon a territory. We also receive by faith. So it means that, I mean, you need faith to receive the Holy Ghost, to be baptized. You need faith also to pull down, as it were, the presence of God to overwhelm a community. All of these things take place on the platform of faith. What does it mean? It means you and I need faith for this move to be steered. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You need the conviction. Inside you, there must be a conviction. A conviction for the move of God. Do you know it is possible to be praying and not even be believing what you're praying? Lord, let your presence move. And you don't believe it. You don't believe. After you finish the prayer, you say, this country is a bad country, I'm telling you. That is, you have just finished the prayer. This place, there is nothing that can change this. That's, you are having a conversation. Nothing. I'm telling you, this country has gone too far. This is just, it is impossible. So why are you praying, sir? Lord, send revival! And then you go back and you are having a conversation with your colleagues. The way this country has gone, I'm telling you. Not the way to take God. This one has passed. So that, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You can pray for intention, but until conviction is your motivation, there cannot be reception. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Until what is motivating you is an internal conviction, there cannot be reception. You can't receive. Are you listening to what I'm saying? It means it's not enough to pray. We're doing something earlier this year in soul winning and so forth. And some of the people who were working with me, I told them, I said, we are going to pray. But before we pray, this is what I want you to do during this season. I gave each one of them MP3s, 105 messages on faith. Listen, let your heart explode with this thing first. So that when we pray, your prayer will have meaning. Not the one that we are saying, Lord, let this happen. Let this move take place. Let such and such souls be saved. And inside you, you are saying, this thing we are praying to, we need to be practical. Are you going to, we need to be practical. Let's think about this and consider it. We are intelligent people. We should not act like fools. There's somebody analyzing prayer. The prayer that he has also just prayed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You are also there. You pray the prayer. But inside you, faith, zero capacity. The question that I will ask you is this. We pray for these things, but you have to picture it and see it. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You have to picture it and see it. What does it look like? When he moves, what takes place? Because until there's expectation, there is no manifestation. Are you listening to what I'm saying? But expectation gives birth to conviction. A pregnant woman is too aware of the pregnancy, even though she has not seen the baby. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So you see that a person who has already conceived in their spirit, what God will do is too aware of it. Is too sure of it. Are you listening to what I'm saying? That's why you say a pregnant woman does not pray for pregnancy. She prays for delivery. The prayer point has changed. You don't see a pregnant woman saying, Lord, give me a child. She has received a child. Lord, let there be serenity through this pregnancy, and let there be safety in delivery. Her prayer point has changed because she knows what is in her. Are you listening to what I'm saying? If you don't know what is in you, even the prayer you are praying will be affected. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Even the prayers you are praying will be affected. We have to come to the point where we have a clear understanding. And when that takes place, you discover that your conviction is able to... Remember, God operates as a reaction to our faith. Is that true? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Nothing you do can reach him. Nothing you do can affect him. Nothing you do can attract him until faith is involved. Are you listening to what I'm saying? That's why I believe it's a wonderful thing that there's a faith seminar coming to interact with the season. Because until conviction is there, you can't have the manifestation of the Spirit of God. Let me say this as I begin to wrap up. All these five things, I'm sure many of them sound very incredible. How am I going to do it? How will I handle all of these things? This man has just come here just to intimidate everybody. Let me say this to you, and I use one scripture to say it. Philippians 2:13. It is God that works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God. Now, the question is, how does he do this? What is in you? When you became born again, what entered you? Answer me. Talk to me. You are well taught. People are wondering, is that a trick question? What entered into you? The Holy Spirit. The earnest of our inheritance. Right? We received when we became born again. We became baptized in the Holy Ghost. A torrent was released so that a river can flow. Now, it means that inside every one of us, we have the Spirit of God if you are born again. If you are born again. True? Not everybody. If you are born again. If we look at each one of those five factors that we have said that are demands, we said number one was what? Separation. But separation or consecration requires the assistance of the Holy Spirit. For if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. So it is the Spirit that kills the deeds of the flesh. Your separation is not just by pretending. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Your separation is by the Spirit of God, as it were, mortifying the deeds of the Spirit, of the flesh. So when the Holy Ghost begins to mortify the doings of the flesh, that is when we can actually be separated in truth. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it takes the Holy Ghost. You see, the wonderful thing about God is that he shows you what you need to do and gives you what you need to do it. Are you listening to what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit is the one who empowers us, as it were, to live the Christian life. No wonder the things that we refer to as, you know, characteristics of the Christian life are called fruits of the Spirit. Fruits. The outcome of the Holy Spirit working in you. Right? So number one, we see that if we are going to receive, if we are going to operate in the realm of separation, then we need the assistance of the Holy Spirit. If we are going to operate in the realm of desperation, we also need the assistance of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that quickens in us a realization of the fact that we need, there is more of God to see. He's the one who quickens it. Do you know your prayer for revival was not actually you who decided it? It was God who quickened it. Are you listening to what I'm saying? That is why you discover that every time there is a quickening like that for a pursuit and a press, naturally there will be a following of the revival. Why? Because the quickening itself is the evidence of God's intention. That's the evidence that's what he wants to do. So that desperation will also be a product of his assistance. He opens your eyes to see that you don't know yet as you ought to know. Are you listening to what I'm saying? He opens your eyes to... There are certain things that I'm telling you, if the Holy Ghost can open your eyes to see it in his word, and he does this principally by his word. This hunger and this desperation is principally by what you have seen in the world. He said, did our hearts not burn in us when he spake to us on the way? So whenever the word is released, it quickens a hunger. Not only does it satisfy something, it also initiates something. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You are quickened to further hunger. And that word is only unveiled to you by the operation of the Holy Spirit. He said, for we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. So it is the Spirit of God that opens us up for us to be changed from glory to glory. And when it is the Holy Ghost doing it, you will see the glory and you will be too aware that that is not all. You are too sure that I've seen something, but that is too much of a fraction for what is available. So that's why I said, when the Spirit of the Lord is operating, you don't just change from, you know, to glory, but from glory to glory. It's a continuous transition from level to level. Are you listening to what I'm saying? By this. That's why in all of these things, you ask for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It comes to prayer, you discover that prayer itself is an operation of the Holy Ghost. He said, I will pour upon the house of David the spirit of grace and supplication. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10. So we discover that all of these things are products of the operation of the Holy Ghost. Products of the operation of the Holy Ghost. In Romans chapter 8, we see concerning dedication, verse 10 and verse 11, he said that, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. He said, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he will quicken your body. So your body now can operate a life that is not sinning anyhow. A life that is dedicated and committed to the cause of God. If you understand that scripture very well, this suit I'm wearing now is animated because of me wearing it. When the Spirit of God is given permission in a person's life, your body simply becomes an instrument for him to animate his actions. So your obedience to God, even to death, is not hard. That is why you discover that God never gave Jesus an assignment until he gave him the Spirit. Not one. Did you observe that? Jesus didn't do one thing. Not one miracle, not one sign, not one wonder, not one message. He relaxed. When the Spirit came upon him, to be submitted even to death was not an issue. In fact, if you read Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 closely, it's like a paradox. Jesus was saying cross. The Bible says he saw joy. Who for the joy endured the cross, despised the shame. In all of that, he was seeing the end, not the process. Because the Spirit of God had so mortified the body, not just against sin, but mortified the body, as it were, against whatever would have intimidated him in the process of his assignment. Are you listening to what I'm saying? If you give him the opportunity, there is no price that is too high. There will be no price that is too high. The difficulty is in the absence of an encounter with the Spirit of God. We talk about faith, and the Bible says we have the same spirit of faith. Everything we talk about here really has to do with the Holy Spirit. All five of them. Can you see it there? Every one of them. So what does it mean? Holy Spirit, I need an encounter with you. This one that I'm struggling with separation. This one that I find myself struggling with worldly habits, with worldly thoughts, with worldly living. I need an encounter with you. The way I'm going around and not living a life of commitment, I'm hot today, I'm cold tomorrow. I need an encounter with you. This way I'm operating that there is a lack of conviction. I'm part of the move, but it's as if I'm missing the move. I need an encounter with you. We heard it. The apostles asked for many things, but Jesus gave them one thing. The Holy Spirit. You want boldness? Is the answer. You want to operate in such a way where you manifest his power? Is the answer.
You want to operate in a way that you are not intimidated, is the answer. That's why you discover that every time, all through scriptures, whenever there was a reaction to a situation that was absence, that is outside of human capacity, you will see something like, and the Spirit of God came upon him. The Bible said the lion roared at Samson, and the Spirit of God came upon him. You know, it takes the Spirit of God for a lion to roar, and you remain. I'm telling you, the natural human being would have run before he started. He knew he was running. He took off before he realized that he was running. The Bible said, and the Philistine shouted on Samson, and the Spirit of God came upon him. And rather than run, he took a jawbone of an ass and killed 1,000 of them. An army against one man. He was not intimidatable. When it came upon him, fear disappeared. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And the Spirit came up. He said, and Elimas the sorcerer was resisting them in front of the deputy. And suddenly Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, he looked at him and said, you will not see the sun for a season. Judgment fell on the spot. It was not a natural reaction. He was in front of a dignitary. He should behave himself. Elimas the sorcerer is the friend of the dignitary. He needs to behave himself. And here comes an opportunity to be intimidated, but the Holy Ghost filled him up. He said, and a girl that was full of possessed by divination went around following him around the city. And Paul again, charged with the Holy Ghost, looked at her, grieved in the spirit, come out of her. And the Spirit took off. You look at all the manifestations of the apostles, and they were manifestations of the Holy Ghost. What am I trying to say to you tonight? There is so much that is possible, but there is so little that is doable without Him. There is so much possible. But there is so little doable without Him. People of God, God is just beginning. God is just beginning. It's simply your responsibility to align with Him. You will not miss your portion. Yes. I said you will not miss your portion. Yes. What we are going to simply do tonight is just ask for a fresh outpouring. The Bible said concerning David, my horn shall thou exalt as the horn of a unicorn, for I shall be anointed with fresh oil.
Yes.
You know why it is the Holy Spirit is so important? Is you see, even the things we are intimidated, He is the one who descends to fight them. If you look Psalm 89, look at this one. I shared this with our church on Sunday. Psalm 89, verse 20, down to verse 23. I like this scripture because it has my name inside. Can you see me there?
Yes.
Uh-huh. I like the scriptures that have my name in a good direction. I like it. I have my name in a negative direction. It's not me. It's the other person they are talking about. But this one is me they are talking about here. He said, I found David my servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him. What will it do? He said, with whom my hand shall be established. My hand. And you know the hand of God is a signal of the Spirit of God. He said, and my arm also shall strengthen him. It looks as if he's strengthening him to fight. Is that not true? But look at the next verse. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the sons of wickedness afflict him. Why would that happen? Not that he will fight, but I, the Lord, will beat down his foes.
He said, and I will plead them that hate him. So he doesn't need to worry about those who hate him. Just let the oil be fresh. Just let the oil be fresh. All you need is fresh oil. Lord, fresh oil. Rise on your feet, pray that prayer.
Someone's knocking at the door. Someone's knocking at the door. Can you hear him knocking? Can you hear him knocking? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus is at the door.
Say after me, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I know that I'm a sinner, but I know you died for me. And on the third day you rose again. Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. Take control of me from this day forward. Now I know that I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I pray for you, Father. I thank you today for these precious ones you have drawn into your kingdom. Let the grace that has brought them keep them in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, for each one of them, we decree today that the barriers against their life and destiny be broken in the name of Jesus. Grace to walk with you all the days of their lives. Release it upon them. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Somebody believe, say a loud amen.
If you have just received Christ as your Lord and Savior, or were blessed through this broadcast, we would love to hear from you. For inquiries and testimonies, send an email to info@tglmedia.org. We also invite you to visit one of our Winners Chapel churches near you anywhere around the world. Until next time, keep walking in the great light.